Welcome to this final episode of the Clinical Realities mini-series by The Lancet Rheumatology. Throughout the course of 2022, every month we've brought you stories about unmet need in rheumatology across cultures, disciplines, sex and gender, economic barriers, and countries. Three of us have had the honour of being guest hosts this year.
I'm Titilola Falasinu from the Stanford School of Medicine.
Hi everyone, I'm Pooja Mehta from University College London, UCL, in the United Kingdom, the UK.
And I'm David Liu, rheumatologist and clinical pharmacologist in Melbourne, Australia. For the three of us guest hosts, it's been a pleasure every single time to highlight and elevate voices that badly need to be heard. The journal itself, however, and its editors are what has given us the courage and the platform to tell these stories. And so, in this final episode, we spoke to some of the people who make this journal what it is, some key contributors who we found at ACR Convergence 2022, and the editors themselves. We wanted to understand what they think is the basis of this platform, the essence of the journal's character. In essence, we wanted to understand not just where it comes from and where it's going, but what makes it special. So we asked the editor-in-chief, Dr. Heather Van Epps, and the deputy editor, Dr. Anna Clark, what makes this journal special? So I'm really curious, what do you think makes the journal special? Dr. Van Epps, what do you think makes the journal special?
No, it's not really that easy a question in the end. I think one thing that sets The Lancet Rheumatology apart from the crowd, I suppose, is, you know, we have a really independent voice, I think, in the sense that we're not formally affiliated with an organization or society. And I think that gives us the opportunity to be quite creative about what we publish and the kinds of projects we pursue. It lets us be sort of nimble and responsive to ideas, probably in a way that's fairly unique to rheumatology at this moment in time. You know, we're really lucky to also have a really engaged, diverse, and really active editorial board. And they're not just names on a masthead, they're really engaged, and they're advisors in the truest sense. And I think the way that we interact with our advisors is maybe perhaps a bit unique among the rheumatology journals. And then on the other side, you know, the fact that we have a team of full-time editors, it really allows us the luxury to engage with the rheumatology community in a really active way. And I'm always encouraging researchers and clinicians to reach out to me or Anna or one of our team members, you know, to discuss submissions and just talk about rheumatology. I mean, you know, what's going on in the field and what the exciting questions are. And we're really, really open to have these conversations. We're really eager to have these conversations and to hear what people think of the journal and what kind of work they want to see us doing and publishing. You know, certainly some of the most interesting and successful, for example, review articles that we've published have materialized or evolved, you know, over a coffee and a chat. So I think that sort of level of engagement, which is really a luxury for us to have. It's a really nice thing to have, and I think it is somewhat unique.
Well, I guess rheumatology has always been an area that's benefited from challenging ideas and interesting conversations. So the Lancet Rheumatology is really carrying in that proud tradition, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from my own personal point of view, I'm an immunologist by training. And so the pathways and the mechanisms are so fascinating to me. You know, why we have these amazing targeted drugs that should work in certain ways, but they continue to sort of raise additional questions and questions about mechanism and disease and patient heterogeneity, which, you know, is really fascinating. And again, a real pleasure to be able to delve into.
Dr. Clark, what makes you think that the Lancet Rheumatology is a special journal?
I mean, I completely agree with everything that Heather's already said. And I think our independent voice does give us unique opportunities to provide a voice for communities that are not usually represented in the pages of the top rheumatology journals. So we've been able to reach out to researchers in various locations around the globe. Able to hear, you know, the stories of patients who are experiencing various conditions, and really allows us to tell the stories that we as an editorial team find fascinating and interesting, and give everybody the opportunity to have their say really in our pages.
What's it been like to give a platform to these voices? What's it been like for you working in a journal where you've got the capacity to do that at a very high impact level?
I think what's been most striking is the the feedback that we get with our patient voice pieces. So, you know, we tell the story of a patient in a single page and they're really able to focus on their own journey and the things that are important to them. We've had amazing feedback from our readers that, you know, they really enjoy getting those first person insights from patients, and the people that are interviewed for those pieces as well just really value the chance to have their say.
And I think that's so important. Patient input in research is only increasing. And in the end, the patient is the whole reason we're all doing any of this, isn't it? So to be able to focus on the academic questions that are really of interest intellectually and clinically and mechanistically, but really in the end, it comes down to the patient. And not all patients in all places in the world have the same kind of opportunities with regard to what they are able to be treated with and different approaches. So I think it's important to appreciate and embrace what the patients have to say.
Recently, we caught up with some attendees at the meeting of the American College of Rheumatology in Philadelphia. We asked them what they think makes the Lancet Rheumatology special. Here's what they had to say.
Hi, this is Jeff Sparks. I'm a rheumatologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. I'm very glad that the Lancet Rheumatology has widened the landscape for investigators to submit research. And what makes them particularly special is how quick they are to recognize high impact studies that have clinical implications and how they disseminate that as quickly as possible to the research community.
My name is Philip van den Bos, and I think Lancet Rheumatology is a new journal which is trying to find its way in the rheumatology literature. I think it did a great job over the last 2 years, which was probably driven by the huge research in COVID. And now the challenge is, I think, to find the right type of publications that are suitable for Lancet Rheumatology, which in my view would be a combination of good clinical science, not necessarily big phase 3 studies, but well-designed smaller studies with a translational aspect.
Hi, my name is Julie Pack, and I'm from Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm an adult rheumatologist. And the one thing I love absolutely about the Lancet Rheumatology is their tremendous impact in the era of the COVID pandemic, where they were able to quickly and swiftly get the most impactful papers out to the rheumatology community. Also, as a reviewer and a submitter of articles, I would have to say that they are the most quickest and fastest turnaround for manuscripts, which, as a reviewer or a submitter of manuscripts, is the most ideal and number one reason why I love the Lancet Rheumatology. Thanks.
Hi there, my name is Fabian Prof from Berlin, Germany. And for me, Lancet Rheumatology is special for two reasons. First, as a young ACES and young GRAPPA lead, I think it is very important to have a very broad international representation. And this is something that Lancet Rheumatology is really driving forward, to have a broad international representation, taking also ethical areas into account which might not be represented so well in the future in other journals. And I think this is something very unique. And also, on the other hand, when we are thinking about the Lancet Rheumatology Sex and Gender Summit, both from both perspectives, also with colleagues and scientists and researchers from around the globe, having underrepresented areas here and also female researchers from those areas included, but also with my main research interest in Axial SpA, where we know that female patients are underrepresented in clinical studies and also in clinical care. I think it really makes sense to highlight this focus, and I'm really happy that this is brought forward.
I'm Anna Hoffmann-Wold from the Oslo University Hospital, rheumatologist. And what makes Lancet Rheumatology great for me is that it has a very highly academic content, and editors like Heather and Anna are very nice to work with.
So my name is Oliver Distler. I'm a professor of rheumatology at the University Hospital of Zurich. And I have the great pleasure to be on the editorial board of Lancet Rheumatology from the very first beginning. So I was able to really watch the journey. And what makes Lancet Rheumatology special is that it has the same quality that the mother journal Lancet has. And I like really reading it because it has clinically relevant, important, high-quality findings in their studies that are published. And that includes even translational science as long as it's clinically relevant. And I enjoy the quality of the papers that are published there. They are excellent and always clinically relevant.
Hi, I'm Mike Hughes. I'm a consultant rheumatologist in Manchester, in Salford. And what makes the Lancet Rheumatology the best journal in rheumatology is it publishes the highest impact and the most impactful papers for clinicians.
Hi, my name is Irene van der Horst. I'm a head of the Department of Rheumatology at Nijmegen in the Netherlands. And I'm very happy to join the Lancet Rheumatology Party because I think it's a very interesting magazine. And I'm especially interested in the focus they have at sex and gender differences, which is also my focus of research. And I was also very happy with the Lancet Summit, which was recently brought up, and I was happy to give a presentation there. And I look very much forward to see the abstracts of my co-authors or co-speakers, because I actually have missed some of them during the duties I had to do in my department. So I'm very much looking forward to see the results of the other presentations. And I think it's a very enthusiastic and fruitful collaboration with the Lancet Rheumatology, with new perspectives in contrast with the older magazines.
I'm Professor John Stone. I'm a rheumatologist at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. And I would say that there are two things that make Lancet Rheumatology special. The first is the quality of the reviewers. It is essential to get outstanding external reviewers who go into great depth and provide great insight into the manuscripts that are submitted and review them fairly and provide excellent critiques that improve the manuscripts. And Lancet Rheumatology does that. The second thing that I think is special is the editorial staff, which is very approachable and not aloof and out of contact. And they feel approachable. And as an investigator and an author, one appreciates that very much.
Hello, I'm Elena Misayedova. I'm a rheumatologist at Mayo Clinic Rochester, Minnesota. I really like Lancet Rheumatology because of the high-yield clinical content and very approachable, professional, and a really friendly editorial staff. I have been involved as an author and really enjoyed working on the piece that we are writing and communicating with the editorial team. They've been extremely helpful. I am also, of course, involved as a reader, and I enjoy reading through the journal content on a regular basis, and that addresses really high yield, very clinically applicable and important questions in rheumatology.
So my name is Sebastian Satui. I'm an assistant professor in the University of Pittsburgh in the U.S. Why do I think that Lancet Rheumatology is special? As an author, I think I've never had such an exhaustive but comprehensive and like great communication with editors. As a reviewer, I've always been challenged with great papers, and it's been a thorough process where I've actually learned a lot. And just as a curiosity, I love the covers. They're amazing. As a visual and an amateur artist, I just very much enjoy every single issue.
Hello, I'm Kosiana Ciurtin. I'm a consultant rheumatologist from University College London Hospital. Why the Lancet Rheumatology is special to me? Because it gives me access to the new discoveries in the context that is very relevant to me as a clinician, that of translational medicine and improvement of care. And what I love about the Lancet Rheumatology is the fact that they tackle societal issues. They are not afraid to raise issues related to underreported outcomes such as sex or diversity, and sometimes even call the scientists into action.
Len Calabrese coming at you from ACR 22 in Philadelphia. Lancet Rheumatology is very special to me because of the fair and balanced presentation of its editorials and the broad international, not just UK, but Europe, Asia, North America, South America. Every continent appears to be represented in a forthright manner, and I always feel privileged to be able to throw my pebbles on the pile.
So the three of us came back to the editors, Heather Van Epps and Anna Clark, wanting to understand more, looking back at the Lancet Rheumatology's journey so far, and the significant and distinctive steps along the way, as well as where the path ahead might take them. Lola Falasinu asked,
Dr. Van Epps, what are you most proud of accomplishing in the journal and why?
That's a great question. I mean, I think the journal's had a really strong start. Of course, there's the impact factor. I'll just put that out there straight away. You know, we're really, of course, really pleased to have achieved a very high impact factor in a very short period of time. So I wouldn't be honest if I didn't say we were proud of that. Although I would say that credit for that really goes to the contributors to the journal, you know, who are doing the research and seeing the patients. In the end, we're really just sort of ambassadors of that work. And of course, the peer reviewers as well, I have to say. And, you know, it's been a really extraordinary time to start a journal. We only had 4 or 5 issues before we were in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And that was just a really extraordinary time for everyone, of course. And I was really pleased that we were able to have a strong voice during the pandemic. And we published some of the early work on immunosuppressive agents in patients with severe COVID-19 pneumonia and hyperinflammation. And then later to carry that on into publishing on vaccine immunity and efficacy. And I think, you know, it's been a very strange time, but that's been really rewarding to be able to contribute to our such rapid increase in knowledge in such a strange and unusual time. And actually, I'm also really proud of some of the work we've done on this podcast series. You know, we've tackled some really challenging questions and some contexts that weren't easy, as we all know, to access. And you reach different parts of the world, you know, we hear a lot less from these regions in terms of the research and where the challenges of clinical care are just vastly different from what we're used to hearing about on a day-to-day basis. And I have to say that that's largely thanks to the three of you who have really honestly brought amazing energy and ideas to the project. You know, so kudos to you for that. But, you know, I think those are some of the things that have really stood out in the first few years to me.
And Dr. Clark, would you like to follow up on that?
So that's a couple of things that I'm really proud of. I think first and foremost, what I'm most pleased with is the relationships that we've built with our community over the past few years.
Yeah, I would second that, actually. I mean, I think I've worked on a few clinical journals, a couple of the Lancet titles, and I've always said I found the rheumatology community to be so welcoming and engaging and interesting. And so it has been a real pleasure to sort of insert ourselves in that community, if you will, and start a journal. You know, obviously the Lancet has a fair history of launching new journals. And so we were, you know, we were well supported in that sense. But just, you know, coming into a research and clinical community that's really been welcoming and really engaged, and that's been terrific.
For me, it's one thing engaging with people face to face, but the way people embraced us during the pandemic, you know, when everybody was incredibly overworked and had 1,000 things to do, everybody was incredibly willing to review for us, have discussions and conversations with us. You know, we've all got Zoom fatigue at the moment, but people were just fantastic with their time. And I really value a lot of the conversations we had with authors, reviewers, just friends of the journal that we've made. And ACR, it was absolutely fabulous to be able to meet and greet everybody again in person, to give our thanks for the contributions that everybody's made to the journal so far. Yeah, and I just think the rheumatology community has been wonderfully friendly and embraced us. And the second thing that I'm really proud of is our Lancet Summit, which took place in September. So the Lancet Summit on Sex and Gender in Rheumatology. I mean, it stemmed from an idea from one of our editorial board members, Oliver Disler, but it was really grounded in some of the core values that we already had as a Lancet journal, working on improving gender equity. And we had a thoroughly engaging 2-day conference online, fabulous talks, you know, a really engaged audience. I think it couldn't have gone better.
Gosh, it's been so lovely to hear from both of you in terms of what you're proud of. And as a rheumatology community, I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that we are really proud of you. It really has been such a beacon of hope to see the journal flourish. And I'm going to move on now to looking forward. So we've looked back at what we have been proud of with this unparalleled meteoric rise. But given your ambition and appetite to do more and be more, what's next? What's the vision? Dr. Van Epps, perhaps we could start with you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to slightly dodge your question in the sense that I really feel that the direction of the journal is something that's continuously evolving, if you will. And it's influenced in part by our interactions with the people in the field, the clinicians seeing the patients, the people doing the trials. And I really see a big part of our role as tapping into those people who are shaping research, identifying the important research questions and issues around patient care and listening. So I think as a general approach, I do see it as sort of an evolution. But in a broad sense, what I'd really like to try to do is achieve a sort of a balance. And by that, I mean, you know, we've talked about all the really fascinating clinical trials and new targets and new drug development and efforts to understand patient heterogeneity and stratification and all of these things that from an intellectual standpoint are incredibly interesting and challenging. And of course, we heard at ACR, you know, there's so many trials going on at the moment. And so there's so much that's coming up. And of course, we want to have the opportunity to publish some of those trials and be involved in that discovery. And I'm also really interested in innovative trial designs. I think we're going to see a lot more of those. Those are, of course, going to be so important in the context of some of the rarer diseases. But as we sort of hinted at before, it's also so important to appreciate that this type of cutting edge discovery research and clinical trials, it's really somewhat less relevant in parts of the world where resources are really limited. So, you know, questions about which targeted drug to use first line, second line, whether we can pinpoint which patients are more likely to respond or not to an IL-17 inhibitor versus an IL-23 inhibitor, a JAK inhibitor, you know, these questions are really just academic if those drugs just simply aren't available to your patients. So I think it's so important to continue to focus on how we improve rheumatology research and patient care everywhere and really make sure to give a voice to those parts of the world, you know, where those academic questions are just not at the moment as much of a reality. And I think the other thing that we want to see happen and hopefully try to be a part of and drive forward is also studies looking at how we can best use the drugs we already have. We have quite a lot of drugs in rheumatology, including, you know, many of the sort of conventional anchor drugs that are relatively inexpensive. And I'd really like to see more research looking at how we can better use those, whether it's combinations, you know, that kind of thing. And because that's so relevant in so many places in the world where some of these other questions aren't. And I think the last thing I would say is that what I'd really want to do is establish a journal that has real longevity, staying power, and can continually sort of innovate. And I think in that regard, it's so critical to engage early career researchers and invite them to participate with the journal in various ways, get them excited about the opportunity to help shape the journal over time. I think that's really, you know, sort of what creates a legacy and a longevity that's going to be so important going forward.
Thank you. That was an excellent answer. I think it started with immune evasion and then became immunogenic with a lot of stimulating substrates. Dr. Clark, could you share your insights? What's the vision? What next?
Well, I think there's only one thing really that I can add to Heather's very eloquent answer, and that's really that we want to continue on to stimulate wider conversations and discussions in the community to bring topics of interest into wider focus. And I mean, ultimately, our goal is to be trusted with someone's paper. And you spend years working on a piece of research or a clinical trial. It takes a lot of trust to then hand that paper over to a journal. And ultimately, we want to be that trusted journal that can do the best for every researcher's work.
Gosh, hugely echo that. Credibility and trust are really important. And I think you've really achieved that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for asking us. It's been great. It's been such a pleasure working with you guys throughout the year and with everyone out there listening. It really has been a pleasure and it's been great fun this year and we look forward to seeing what the future brings.
Gosh, wow. We could talk all day, but alas, we must come to an end.
David Loder and I also wanted to say thank you so much to you both for enveloping us and making us feel so warm and welcome as part of the Lancet Rheumatology family with this Clinical Realities podcast series. It has been amazing today to listen to the chorus of rheumatology voices singing about what they think makes the Lancet Rheumatology so special, as well as hearing from you both the journey of how the journal started, the relationships, the authentic and organic conversations about current and future landscapes that have shaped the journal so far. And we are so grateful that our specialty is in safe and trusted hands. Thank you.